Thanks for joining us, and welcome to the Stonebridge Church Podcast. Here at Stonebridge, our goal is to lead people into a real, healthy, and growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to join us live, we hold services every Sunday at 9:30 and 11:05 a.m. at 1 Stonebridge Church Drive in the Woodlands, Texas. We invite you to check out our website at gostonebridge.com and follow us on Twitter, where our handle is at SBChurch, and give us a like on Facebook at facebook.com/gostonebridge.
Everything that's good and important, there's also an annoying side in there. I mean, I think so. It's just one of those things, you know, when you look at love and you try to figure it out, and you say, man, this is really, really, really important. But there are also some things in any relationship, in any kind of, you know, love relationship that you're like, man, you know, that this is just annoying and it's just not what I thought it was going to be like. And you have to look at that part of it and you have to deal with that part of it just like you deal with everything else. I mean, it's just, you know, part of growing up and learning and moving forward. Now, I'm going to date myself a little bit, just to let you know, and let you know, when I was coming up, sort of those teenage years, there was this brother-sister combo that used to sing and used to be on TV. In fact, you might have watched them, depending on your age, and they would, they always had this theme song, and they would say, you know, he would say, I'm a little bit, or she would, I'm a little bit country, and he would sing, I'm a little bit, you just dated yourself. Right? And I loved Donnie and Marie. In fact, one of the things that I really loved was that Donnie had his signature socks. And those socks, anybody remember what color they were? They were, oh man, you really dated yourself. That you, if you even remember the color of his socks, I mean, and so I would watch Donnie and Marie, and I went back and I looked at one of the songs that I really liked, and I thought it fit so well, you know, into this when we talk about love, is that Donnie would stand there as a really, really young teenage boy, because they hit the scene real fast, and his brothers, who were older, would be behind him, and they were the backup group. And I always loved it, because when Donnie sang, you know, his love songs, and it was so cute, and everybody just, you know, fell in love with it, and the brothers would sit back there and back him up, and they would always smile and sing backup, but they also had this kind of smirk on their face. And I always, you know, now I look back, I've always thought, as I look back, that's because they would hear their younger brother sing about love and all these little things, and they were smirking because they were like, yeah, just wait till you grow up. It's not going to be that way at all. You just think it's that way, and it sells albums, but, you know, and one song that he sang that I thought fit so well with this, and I want you to think about the words to the very first line in his song. I'm going to sing it for you. It's just my chance, you know, to relive my teenage years. Hey, that's, you know, you got to take advantage whenever you can. But I want you to think about the words of it. He would sing this. I have to do the Donnie verse. And they called it puppy love. Listen to the words. Oh, I guess they'll never know. How a young heart really feels, and just why I love her so. Remember something like, okay, yeah, that's my one shot. That's all I've got, just to let you know, too. And but I think about those words. You know what? You know why they were smirking? Because you'd never know what a young heart. Yes, we do. We've been there before, right? In fact, here's one of the real eye-opener revelations to if you're young here and you're a teenager is, your parents were once teenagers also. They were like you. Oh, no, they're not, because they've told me before. I was never like that. And let me give you the eye-opener to the parents, because it is true that there are a lot of parents forget they were that way. And I will talk to parents about their kids and the things their kids are going through, and they will say things, and I will say, well, now, there was once, and they were, oh, no, but we never did that. We never, you know, oh, yes, you did. You saw it that way one time. If you can think back far enough, or maybe you can go back and find your old diary, right, or something like that, you can go back to the day that's how you looked at it. You thought this was the only thing that mattered. You thought, you know, that you will never lose these feelings. And that's why they call it what? Puppy love. Yeah. Because puppies are cute. Who does? In fact, just to let you know, I went by, I was going to bring real puppies, but I decided if I did, you would never remember a thing I said. All you'd remember is those puppies. And they are. And Toys R Us was so nice because they gave me this Donny Osmond carrying case, purple, for my puppies. Yep. And so I brought two little, yeah, cute, adorable, and the kind that I can handle puppies, right? And they are cute. I mean, who doesn't love puppies? This is the girl puppy because she's pink, and this is the boy puppy because he's kind of dirt colored. And that, you know, that's, who doesn't love puppies? In fact, let me tell you, if you don't love puppies, there's something wrong with you. There is. I mean, we all love puppies. They're so cute. They're so, they're clumsy. They tumble over one another. They're just having a good time. But, you know, everybody loves puppies. But the problem is puppies quickly do what? Yeah, they do. They turn into dogs. In fact, that's what my wife said. Yeah, you were a cute puppy once. Then you grew up. And that's what happens. Of course it is, because everything grows up. It doesn't stay the way it was. And all of a sudden, that puppy love, and I did put in your outline, if you wanted to have the answer, whatever happened to puppy love, you know, it left with Donny Osmond. That's the problem with puppy love. And the truth is, Donny just, he grew up, right? You know, he's not like that anymore. You know, Marie, you know, she started pushing Nutrisystems or something, you know, but Donny, you know, he just kind of faded off somewhere. And that, you know, puppy love grows up. It does. It always grows up. Joni and I, when we were in that early stage, I mean, we were young. And I'm going to put them back in their carrying case just to let you know. Otherwise, they will act up and all. And they're going to sit back here with Donnie in their carrying case. And so Joni and I, we were young, and we were in that stage. We were newly married. And one of the things that we would do that we do not do anymore, but we would sit up in the bed at night, and we would watch a movie or something like that, and we would eat pizza and drink Pepsi. She remembers it still. She will tell you. She didn't really remember it, but she remembers that we would do that. We would eat pizza and drink Pepsi, and I know you're thinking, man, y'all had an exciting early marriage, didn't you? Yep, well, hey, listen, we were poor, and I was a young preacher, and Pepsi's as far as you can go. It's just the way it was. And now we look back, and we hate Pepsi. If you're Pepsi lovers, I'm not, you know, but I'm just saying we hate Pepsi. And we were like, how could we drink that? It had so much sugar in it, and it's just, you know, we still eat pizza every once in a while, but, you know, we just look back and go, right, because we grew up. And the truth is, we had puppies. You know, they showed up, and life changed. I don't mean puppies. I mean, we had, you know, the kind that bite your ankles, and they grow up, right? And you go through life and you move forward, and it's part of it. And you look back, and some of those things that, you know, when you were in puppy love stage, things didn't bother you at all. You just kind of looked over everything and everything, you know, didn't matter what she did. She looked at me like it didn't matter what he did. It's not that way anymore. We've grown up. Our love grew up. It had to grow up, right? I'll tell you one story I thought was funny. When the kids moved out, you know, there's time for them to go, and so we moved and didn't tell them where we moved, and so they couldn't come back home, and it's all right to do that. The birds do that. So, you know, we did that, and they found us eventually, which is good, but, you know, Joni decided, my wife is not going to have a dog or a cat in the house. It's just the way she was. They leave hair, they make a mess, they're too much work. You know, once we had kids, that was just the way she was, and I grew up with pets. So, you know, I was fine with them, but once the kids left, I loved the new freedom I had. I could do some things and work on some things that I didn't have a chance to work on before. So I had my new idea of life, my new routine, and we were learning, you know, to spend time together again, and everything was really good. And then she goes to some place, and all of a sudden, she comes back, the lady that was never going to buy, you know, a dog, and she has two, what do you think? Puppies, yeah. Two chihuahuas. And I mean, I could put them in my pocket. I really could have brought them here and put them in my pocket. You wouldn't have known they're there except for they'd be wiggling a little bit. They were so small. And my wife goes out of town every once in a while. She has to travel. And so she would leave them with me, right? And it changed my schedule. Because you just can't, you know, leave them there. I mean, you know, they're little bitty things, and they make a mess. They do. You know, they do what they do, whether they're where they're supposed to be to do what they do or not. You know, they just, and so after a couple of weeks, she could tell I was not happy, and I was not. I mean, I loved them. They're cute. You have to love puppies, but I was not happy. And she said, "What's wrong?" I said, "My life is over." That's the way I felt. Now, I love my Chihuahuas, and they're great. Cowboy and Bear are my friends. They're always, and I'm home, they're always in my lap. They're not puppies anymore. But, you know, all of a sudden, I was like, I was past this stage. I was, you know, but you can't not love them, right? They're just so cute. But they grow up, and they become dogs, and they, you know, and all the things that go with that. This is the way love is. This is why last week, one of the things we talked about is that you have to be able to move past the idea that love is just a feeling. It's just something you find. It's something that you run into, and it's something that you experience, and you just feel, and you have to move past, and you have to go to the idea that love now becomes, in fact, we said this, you need to learn to make love a fill in the blank. We said make, if you're here last week, make love what? A lot, yeah, but make love a verb. That's right. You know, that's what you have to do. You have to make love a verb. It has to be something that you do now, an action that you have learned how to love. And that's a part of growing up. It's a part of maturing. In fact, it's a part of a better love. It really is. If love is just something that you run into and you feel and you experience, then what's the problem? You fall in love and then one day you fall out of love because, you know, the feeling's gone. But here's what I've learned, and if you hadn't learned this part yet, you know, you will have to as you grow older. The feelings may come and go, but when you learn how to make love a verb and you learn how to love somebody, the action of loving somebody makes the affection itself come back. It does. It kind of changes it. And I know there are a lot of people, and I know you may be here and think, nope, don't feel it anymore, not going to live, you know, as a phony, not going to act out something. You hadn't figured out love yet. You hadn't figured out love yet. In fact, as we look at this, I want to help you understand that not only can I say that, but I can back it up. Look in, this is what we looked at last week. This is Genesis chapter 2. And remember, in Genesis, I always go back to this story. I think it's a great story. Adam and Eve are created, husband and wife, you know, for the first time. So Adam's created, and he's naming all the animals. He's got his job. And then this is the verse that we looked at. This is a quick summary. It was verse number 20 in chapter 2. It says, but, say this with me, but still there was what? No helper, just right for it. So he's looking at all the creatures and he's noticing, you know, they're paired up and there's one for the other, but not for him. And still, after going through all of this and trying to figure it all out, you know, there's still not someone for him. And so God goes and he takes a rib from Adam and he forms Eve and he brings her back. And man, he is feeling puppy love. That's what it is. I mean, he is feeling what love is all about. I'm not telling you love's not a feeling. It is a feeling. It is, but it's got to become more than just a feeling. And I know sometimes someone will say, listen, love's not a feeling. Of course love is a feeling. Of course it's an emotion. Of course it's something that you feel. You just can't stop there. It's just that's the beginning of it. So this is what it says when God brings Adam and Eve for the first time. Remember Adam says this? It's going to pop up on the screen. At last, right? That goes back to the still. There's not, at last. This one is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. And then he proclaims this about her. She shall be called what? Whoa, man. I mean, he is feeling it, right? Woo, baby, this is it. I mean, all what I've been always looking for and always longed for she was taken from the man. And then he makes this statement. And this is what I want to focus on with you today. Then he makes this statement. Very next verse. This explains, say it with me, why. This explains why. This explains why. A man shall leave his father and his mother, and he shall be joined to his wife, or some is the leave and cleave, you know, joined to his wife, cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one. This explains why. This is what love is all about. This is why you learn to love. This is why you have to learn to work at love. It is something that for him just kind of happened, but he's got to work at it. Now, let me tell you, in the narrative, in the passage, there's only two possibilities in the passage. One is that this is God speaking, and God is speaking into the future. This will be why, right? There's only possibilities, because Adam and Eve were just created, so they didn't have a mom and dad, and you know they would be sitting there going, "What are you talking?" You know, if that was the way you saw it, so it's either God speaking into the future, or it's Moses who is writing the narrative. Almost all scholars say Moses wrote this. Could have been, you know, handed to him, whatever, you know. But Moses is the one writing this, and Moses is now either God speaking for it, or Moses is talking backwards and saying, this explains, as we're living now, this explains why a man leaves his father and his mother and cleaves to his wife, and the two become one flesh. Now, whichever one you think fits better, those are the only two possibilities. Either God is speaking forward or Moses is speaking backwards. It still amounts to the same thing. There's a reason that this happens, and it goes on and finishes, and I still like that part where it says, and the man and the woman were both naked, but they were not ashamed. That means they were innocent. They were sinless at the time, because he's going kind of back to this after this statement, jumping back in here, and there was something really special, but it means there's something still to come. Listen, this is God even now, second chapter of Genesis, even now, he's starting to explain to us something about who he is and something about the plan that he has. And you're going to go through life just as they went through life, having to try to learn this. You don't figure it all out at first. No more than, you know, at 13 years old or 14 years old, you figured out love. You think you did because it's the only thing you've experienced, but you haven't figured it all out yet. He's got a plan in this. He's pushing things forward. He's trying to teach you more of what is to come. Now, let me tell you why this is so important, because even if you go to the New Testament, if you look forward into the New Testament, you will see that that verse comes up over and over and over and over again. Jesus uses this verse. When they confront Jesus, you can find it in Matthew and in Mark, both places, they confront Jesus because they're struggling with something that we struggle with. That was a thing called divorce. That means I fell in love and now I fell out of love. I used to feel this way, now I don't feel this way anymore. And they're struggling with, okay, Moses said it was okay to write your wife a letter of divorce. What do you say? And they were trying to trap Jesus, but Jesus, this is what he does. A lot of people think Jesus comes up with some new rules. Here's when divorce is okay, but that's not what he's trying to do. Just go ahead and tell you, it's my opinion, I know, but you know, anybody that says differently, they're wrong. This is just, I'm just messing with you a little bit, you know. He's not coming up with new rules. He's doing what you should do. Whenever you're struggling with love, whenever you're trying to figure out what is going on, you go back to what was the original intent? What was God's plan? Now, I know even in saying this, there's some here and you're struggling in your marriage, or maybe you've you know, had a divorce before, or maybe you just had a really significant breakup with someone before. So, you know, none of us are immune to this. None of us, you can say, I don't know what you're talking about. I fell in love. I've always felt the same thing. It's always just been a feeling. And that none of us can do that. And the reason that Jesus goes backwards and he goes back to this passage, he's trying once again for us to grasp and understand what was God trying to do. It wasn't just have this feeling and kind of fear. It was God was trying to teach us what love was really all about. And that's why Jesus says, from the beginning, from the very beginning, that's not the intention. That was not the purpose. That's not the way it works. And Paul does the same thing. Paul is confronted in a couple of different instances. One in Corinthians, and it's really interesting because the Corinthians, who were, you know, totally foreign to any of this idea of Judaism or, you know, in the Bible, they were totally, you know, secular in their thinking. And so this is what they did, which seems very natural. They said, listen, if you're hungry, you eat. If you're feeling kind of amorous, what do you do? And they're just saying, listen, it's just a natural function of what we are. And Paul says, hang on. And this is the verse that he goes back to. He says, listen, but you got to remember, this is not the way it was. There's this breaking away and this uniting into one. And then he, you know, is going to go in and to say, so, you know, when you do that and God brings you together, you don't want to mess up what God has done. And then in Ephesians, which is the famous passage in chapter number 5 where he talks about husbands and wives, and he goes through the long stuff at the very end, he goes right back to the same thing. Paul says, listen, From the very beginning, this is the way it was. And this explains why. This explains why. A man leaves his mother and father and mother. He cleaves to his wife. He's joined to his wife, and the two become one flesh. Now, the reason I'm saying this, and I'm pushing this really hard, and y'all are way too serious because I'm never this serious. The reason I'm pushing this is there's something more about love than just the puppy love, just what we feel and just what we experience, that God is trying to teach us and trying to get us to understand something more. There's something deeper. There's something more powerful. There's something more personal. There's something more practical about what God wants to teach us about love that He wants us to grasp, that you'll be really, really happy. And you will learn, if you learn how to apply it, you'll be really, really happy that you learn to apply it about growing and building a love relationship. Because otherwise, the annoying part, you know, of love will just wear on you. It will. And you'll finally say, I just don't feel it anymore. You know, it's just sort of gone. In fact, I will get in a lot of trouble because my wife is not here right now. She's babysitting in California. So she will hear about this, but you shouldn't be the one to tell her, because she said, don't say anything, because she knows whenever I get into this that I tell all kinds of things. Don't say anything now that will make me mad or make me annoyed. And so I'm not telling you this, but... As we were driving the other day, she said this. She was kind of annoyed in a conversation we were having, and because I can be pretty annoying at times, and whatever I brought up, and I don't even remember what it was, and she said this. She said, listen, let me just tell you something. If I didn't love you, and she means by that, and she would say, if I haven't learned to work at loving you, she said, I would be annoyed. Everything you would do would annoy the heck out of me. That's what she said. Everything you do would annoy the heck out of me. And she said, heck, just let you know. Even though we were in the car by ourselves and all that. So she, you know, that's what she said. And I will be in trouble for telling you that. But see, I like it because she's being real. She is. Just like in the Bible, it's being very real. This is what we go through. This is what we struggle with. You don't have to give up on love because of it. You don't have to quit. And she's exactly right. Because she loves, and because it's not just because of what she feels, it's because of what she works at and she pushes at. You know, she's saying, by now, man, everything you do would annoy me if I didn't love you, if I didn't learn how to work at it and all. I like Ken Blanchard. He wrote The 1 Minute Manager, pretty famous for that. And I was listening to him in an interview, and he's in his late 70s, and his wife is around the same age. And I still love this. She said this about their relationship. She said, I finally figured out, late 70s, I finally figured out I'm not going to change him. And you know, I'm sure she said, well, I still tried to everyone, but I finally figured it out. It's not going to happen. You know, she said, so what I'm doing is I'm learning to love the lovable parts. Isn't that good advice? It means it is annoying. It is a struggle. But you have to learn what love is really meant to be and what love is really about. Let me give you a couple things. I like to do fill in the blanks, so if you don't like that, they're going to check at the door. But here we go. Here's why do we give up on love? Let me give you a couple things real quickly. These are six things. You might think of a few others. Why do we give up on love? Why does this happen? First of all, because it's not what we expected, you know? We fall into that puppy love idea. This is what I'm expecting. This is what I want love to be. And all of a sudden, it's not. So we say, well, then I'm going to go find, you know, what I was expecting somewhere else. Here's the second thing. We thought it would never change. I thought that I'd feel like this forever. When I counsel couples that are, you know, newlyweds, or they're going to be married, one of the things I love to tell them is, listen, it's not going to feel like this forever. What? And it's almost like, how can you say that? Blasphemy, you know. It's not going to feel like this forever. You're going to have to grow in love. Love's going to have to become a verb in your life. You're going to have to find the action of loving, not just looking for and always hanging on to a feeling and thinking that that feeling is going to carry you through, because it just doesn't work that way. Here, how about number three? Here's why you fall out of love. Because it came with another person. And the problem with that other person, because you're going to like, well, yeah, I mean, that was the whole point. Yeah, but the problem with that other person is they have problems. They have problems. Now, when I'm counseling sometimes, this is what will happen. That will come up, and we'll do it, and then I'll look at them, and I'll have to tell the other person that love came with, and that has problems. Now, you married someone who came with problems also. What? And so it brings up what happens in the relationships with the problems. We both bring struggles, problems, difficulties into the relationship. We're going to talk more about that in a couple weeks. We bring those things into the relationship, but our expectation is, but you're supposed to fix my problems. Or you're supposed to help me overcome all of my problems. I know I have problems. I know I've got things that I struggle with. But that's why, because this feeling of meeting you and falling in love is kind of stronger than those. So it's really on you to overcome all of my problems. And all of a sudden, when marriages, relationships begin to have struggles and difficulties, see, the natural thing then to do is say, yeah, we're having these and it must be your fault, right? It must be your fault. Because you were supposed to overcome those, or this feeling of love, you were supposed to, and now all of a sudden we have these really strong difficulties. In fact, let me tell you what people do. This is not in your outline, but this is what we do. We see it a certain way, and so we want the other person now to see what we see, and so we start pulling, and we start saying, I want you to see it this way. And the other person naturally resists if they have any kind of strength in them at all, right? And you wouldn't have fallen in love with them if they didn't. They start saying, now, wait a minute, and they start pulling this way. And as they pull this way, you know, you say, wait a minute, and you start pulling this way. And the thing is, you don't just pull, you overdo it. You overexpress it. You go way outside even of how you see it or what you feel like, because you were trying to move them, and you think the only way to move them is not to see it the way I see it, but is to act like I see it even to more of an extreme. I know you're thinking, are you talking about love or politics? Well, it's kind of the same thing, you know? We just get in there and we pull, and then naturally what the other person does is they pull this way, and then I'm going like, well, and I pulled this way, and you pulled this way, and before long, man, there's this incredible tension between two people because you're trying to make the other person like yourself. The other person was never meant to be like you. In fact, that you know, the fact that they don't see it the same way, when it's held together by love, by working together and loving one another, they become a great asset and a great strength in the relationship. So here's a brand new approach. What if instead of trying to pull and make the other person see it my way and pull and make the other person see it my way, what if instead I said, listen to how they saw it, and I said, okay, you know what? I understand a little more of what you're saying. And then they listen and they say, wow, which sounds kind of like, to me, a lot like love, right? And they say, well, in that case, and what happens is you're brought together, and that's exactly it. The love brings you and holds you together so that you cannot see it the same way, but it's okay because the love binds you together. And your different viewpoints don't become a weakness or something that tears you apart, but instead they become a real strength of the relationship. That's what love, working at love, and learning how to make love an action, that's what it does in the relationship. Here's number four. And this kind of naturally happens. We saw with Adam and Eve, once you start trying to pull apart, you fall into the blame game, right? It's not my fault, it's your fault. You remember Adam? You know, here's the deal. Did I eat of the tree? Yes, but it was the woman that you gave me. You know, whatever happened to puppy love? Yeah, she gave me the fruit, and she says, I love Eve's response because she wants to blame somebody also, but she goes, and there's nobody there, so she goes, that snake, he is his fault, right? And you kind of think, man, that's pretty lame. It is. The blame game is always a lame game. It's always a lame game. It doesn't fix anything. It just kind of drives us further apart. Here's number five. We bought into the myth, and it is a myth, that if it's real, if love is real, if it's the genuine thing, listen, you don't have to work at it. You don't have to work at it. That's baloney. Listen, if it's real, if it's important, if it's powerful, if it means anything, and you would say, well, yeah, love means something. If it matters, love matters, then here's the reality of it. It's worth working at. Of course it's worth working at. I mean, it's worth really working at. To take from another saying, it's worth working at because it matters even if you're not good at it or you don't feel like you're good at it. Still worth working at. Still worth investing in. Still worth, you know, learning how to love because it matters, because it counts. And then here's my last one, number six. We kind of conclude that there must be, because I'm not good at love or it's not working out, there must be something wrong with me. Must be something wrong with me. Everybody else is happy, right? Yeah, right. Everybody else, I mean, they're doing great. Everybody else's relationships, must be something wrong with me. And it falls into one of two categories. Something wrong with me must mean that either I'm unlovable, no one can love me, I'm never going to fall in love, I'm never going to find what I'm looking for because I'm just unlovable, or I'm incapable. I can't make this work. I can't work this. There's something wrong with me. Now, yes, there's something wrong with all of us. But what God does is God tries to convince us, and he's doing his best to try to convince us that neither one of those things are true. You are neither unlovable or incapable. If you are unlovable, God would not have sent his son, Jesus Christ, into the world to give his life for you. That's just a reality of it. And you're not lovable because God, you know, you're like a puppy. God thinks you're so cute, and you know, because God knows you as you really are. You're lovable because, listen to this, because God loves you. That's what makes you lovable. God loves you. And you're capable because he came to teach you how to learn how to love. This is a verse that we used last week, and I want to expand it a little bit for you real quickly. This is what Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 33. He says, "Dear children, I will be with you only a little while longer." So I'm going to leave, and they were like, "How could you leave? You know, this is so good." He says, "But it's okay." And then look at verse 34. He says, "So now I'm giving you a new commandment, because I want you to learn how to make it. Love what? Love each other." Well, yeah, I mean, we understand love. But see, he talks about what he means by that love. The same way that I have loved you, I want you to learn to love one another the way that I have loved you. Because it's in the love that I have for you that says you're lovable. It's in learning how to love that says, yeah, you're capable, absolutely. And when you love someone else, you are telling them you are lovable. Why are you lovable? Because I love you. And are you capable? Yeah. Look at me. I mean, I'm a mess too, but I'm loving you. I am capable. And he goes on to say, and let me just kind of paraphrase this. This is the way people will know that you have been with me. I know that it says in the, and I almost tried to find a verse that didn't use the word disciple or something like that, because the problem for me, and I think for some of you, is whenever you do that, it goes to religious terms. And so let me tell you what he's saying. This is how they will know you have been with me and you've learned from me what it really means to love, because they'll look at you and they'll say, he knows how to love. He knows how to love. He knows how to make the other person feel lovable. He knows what it really means. He's capable of loving in this way. A couple of verses real quick, a couple more verses. This is what it says in 1 Corinthians, because Jesus has given us an invitation to a new understanding of love. This is what it says in 1 Corinthians 13, the great love chapter at the very end. It says, "So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do," catch this, he says, "I am bankrupt without what?" Now, I know you think, so he's talking about this feeling. No, he's talking about learning how to love. And my account has nothing in it if my account doesn't have this, what I've learned about being loved and loving other people. And so in the next chapter, he says, "So go after a life of love as if your life depended on it." He says, "Because it does." In the New Living Translation, this verse is translated, "Let love be your highest goal." In the Living Bible, it says, let love be your greatest aim in life. Because there's nothing more powerful and nothing better, you know, than learning this. This is how Paul, again, he's writing to the people in Galatia. This is what he says in the fifth chapter. He says, "For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or uncircumcised." That's what they were arguing over, whether they were Jewish or Gentile. That's the important thing. So that's not the important thing. Has no benefit. Here's what's a benefit. What's important is faith. It's expressing itself in what? That's an action. Expressing itself in this love. And then he goes on to say down in verse 13, same chapter, "My brothers and sisters, God called you to be free, but do not use your freedom as an excuse to do what pleases your sinful self." Here's what you do. Serve each other with what? Learning how to love. Now, this is what I want you to catch. In fact, this is a long statement at the end in your outline that has some fill in the blanks. But this one I want you to catch, and I may not read it quite that way. See, what we think is God created us. We came into the world because that's our natural focus. We're focused on us. And in order for us to learn to hold it together and make it work, God created this thing called love so that we could live together and so that we could make it work. That's actually not it. That's not actually it. God is love. This is a characteristic of who God is. Before you existed, before the world existed, before anything existed, this was still who God is. God is love. And you were created, and marriage was created, and relationships were created. All these things were created so that God could demonstrate and express who He was through us. Do you realize that? You were made so that you could express something that already existed, God's love. But you became the expressor of God's love. And God put you into being, created the matter in you, the mind in you, the spirit. He made you so that in the world and even in the universe would see, just like Jesus is saying, they will know you came from God, that you've been with God, you know God, because you are expressing, you are living out who God is. You are learning, you are expressing, you're acting out God's what? Love. Love came first. You didn't come first. Love came first. God has always been love. God has always been loving. And God made you in your life for a purpose, for a reason. God made you to love you so that you would say, I'm lovable. And God made you to teach you to love somebody else because you're capable. And in your capability, they realize, I'm lovable. Where did you get that from? Well, there's a God who loved me and expressed His love through me, and I'm expressing it to you. That's why the greatest purpose of your life, the one thing that God wants to teach you in this life more than anything else, is that He loves you, God made you to love you, and He wants you to learn how to love because this is who God is, and He wants to demonstrate it in your life. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You. We're Your idea. It's who You are. It's what You wanted to say to the world around us. It's what You wanted to say to the creation around us, that You are a God of love. And You know how to love men and women, boys and girls, people who are a mess, who have struggles, who have problems. You know how to love them in a way to convince them that they are lovable. And you know how to teach them how to love themselves. How they can express the same love to someone else. To pass on the same feeling and the same action to say, yes, you can love. Because Your Creator, Your Father, the one who gave you life, the one who set you free. He set you free to love. If you're here this morning and maybe you've never bought in, you've just never understood, and maybe you've heard it before, but you just never gave in to this idea, this concept. You never believed that God really loved you. I encourage you this morning. God gave His Son. He gave His life to prove to you so that you would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God loves you. But He also gave His Son for you so that you would know beyond a shadow of a doubt you can learn to love. You were made, you were equipped, you were built to learn. It will be work, it will not be easy. You were built to learn to love. And we know this because of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ still lives today. And He lives in people and through people. He rescues people. And He teaches them how to rescue others. Because Jesus Christ is just as much alive today as He was 2,000 years ago. He wants to live in you. He wants to love through you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.